did. I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced.
Say you meet someone new and it's fantastic. The conversation crackles, the chemistry tingles, and you've got stars in your eyes. Except when he drinks. It's a serious, sensitive, and maybe too common problem in a lot of relationships, and one that Boston Globe Love Letters columnist Meredith Goldstein is seeing in her inbox recently. Have you ever thought of confronting your partner about his or her substance abuse? Or maybe you're the one who battles the bottle. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And joining us now is Meredith Goldstein. She's Love Letters columnist for the Boston Globe. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Meredith.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Dr. Donald Davidoff. He's chief of neuropsychology at McLean Hospital and assistant professor of psychology at Harvard Medical School. Thank you for joining us as well, Dr. Davidoff.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so Meredith, tell us about this letter that actually sounds pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, a few weeks ago I got a letter from a 35-year-old woman who met this wonderful guy who was almost instantly committing to her, making her dinners. Wonderful to her son. And then he calls her completely drunk, downtown Boston, doesn't know where he is. He told her he was having blackouts. You know, basically this was happening every few weeks. And basically she said, you know, after a few months, what am I supposed to do? This is a guy who is wonderful 90% of the time, except for when he doesn't know where he is and can't remember where he's been.
And what'd you tell her?
Well, I said this person has an alcohol problem, and most likely he has to deal with this and you have to move on. And the only way to stick around is to know that he admits he has a problem and wants to work on it. But, you know, in the case of this letter writer, she has a son. And I was very concerned that, you know, there were safety issues. But I said, you know, let's call it what it is, an alcohol problem.
Dr. Donald Davidoff, this must not be an uncommon issue in many relationships. How do you advise people?
Well, I think some of the issues in advising people have to do with the nature of the relationship. This particular relationship is only 5 months old. And one of the things that is of most concern is the fact that when he becomes drunk, he becomes verbally abusive. And, of course, we all know from looking at domestic violence that the next step right after verbal abuse is physical abuse. And so, especially with a young child in the house, one begins to become very concerned about the safety.
So is the thing to do is to try and exit the relationship as fast as possible? That's always what people say, but it can't be easy.
Well, it isn't easy to exit a relationship like this, although one of the things that's important here is that the relationship is only 5 months long, and she doesn't have all that much time invested in it, although one would wonder, given that it is so short, why they're living together so quickly. He does clearly have a very significant alcohol problem in that he's having blackouts, and one doesn't have blackouts just on the basis of having three episodes of getting drunk.
Right. You know, my question as an advice columnist was, you know, this is a 35-year-old woman with a son who's saying it's not so easy to find someone who's nice and cooks dinner and wants to hang out. And, I mean, is there any chance that, you know, someone... when you start dating someone and find out they do have an alcohol problem, is there any reason to hang on and say this person might fix their problem? You know, the good outweighs the bad. When does the good outweigh the bad?
Especially she says that 95% of the time he's great.
Well, I think one thing you want to keep in mind, you know, he is great. He cooks dinner and he gives massages every night, but it might be in the longer run cheaper to hire a masseuse and a cook than to deal with him. The reality is alcoholism is a very significant addiction. One can be cured of it, but it revolves around the old issue of how many shrinks does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer, of course, is just one, but he has to want to change. Mm. So if he's confronted with his problem and he wants to change, that's very different than if he believes he doesn't have a problem.
Right. And of course, in the case of this letter, this man told her, well, I'll cut down on my drinking, which is certainly not the same as I'm going to treat an addiction problem.
Mm-hmm. And what we know about people who are binge drinkers like this is that cutting down is not an option because the neurophysiological effects of alcohol on the brain is you become disinhibited. So after you have that second drink, you forget about the fact that you've promised to only have two.
Meredith, let me ask you, do you get a lot of these kind of letters of substance and alcohol abuse?
I would say 7 out of 10 letters have something to do with alcohol. Now, it's not always...
7 out of 10.
I would say 7 out of 10, and that can be a full-on alcohol problem. It can also mean I got drunk and said something mean to my boyfriend. It could mean I got drunk and looked at my girlfriend's emails. That's not to say all of these people have addiction problems. It just means that when we drink, we tend to do silly and dumb and hurtful things. So I'm shocked at how many letters have something to do with I had a drink, I had one too many drinks. You know, not all of them are as severe as this letter, you know, with blackouts, but they are. I have made a big mistake, and here's why.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Donald Davidoff, I presume that there's a lot of people who maybe if they find themselves in the situation, what they want to do is actually support their partner and try and get them into some kind of treatment and help them as much as they can. But that seems like, in and of itself, that's a huge challenge.
Well, it is a huge challenge. And one of the places that she might want to look for some help is in Al-Anon in order to begin to recognize what her issue is and separate it from his issue. Intervention might be a course of action here. She should get to know who his friends are and whether or not they're concerned as well. And again, if he wants to do something about it and is committed to doing something about it, then maybe there's some hope here, but he has to take some action.
We just got a couple seconds to go, but I got to wonder, what do you say to her about regarding her child?
Be very careful, given that he has this tendency to be verbally abusive, and you want to make sure that he is safe, most of all.
Well, Dr. Donald Davidoff, chief of McLean Hospital's Neuropsychology Department and assistant professor of psychology at Harvard Medical School, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Meredith Goldstein, love letters columnist for the Boston Globe, thank you actually very much for bringing this like very serious but seemingly common problem.
Yeah, more common than you think, unfortunately.
All right, well,
thanks for having me.
I'm at least glad that people feel like they can write to you about it.
Of course.
That's Meredith Goldstein again, Boston Globe's love letters columnist.